Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Third and one. He'll give it to Barkley left side. 35, 40, far sideline, 50. There goes Barkley to the 30. Far sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Saquon Barkley takes it 65 yards to the house. And the Nittany Lions do what they needed to do. They jump out in front. Back, Trace throws over the middle. He's got Johnson at the 40. Nebraska breaks a tackle, swings it near side, gets a block from Tompkins at the 30. 25, 20, Johnson the 15, and Juwan Johnson inside the 15-yard line and a first down to the Nebraska 11. So second and goal at the 1. Near side Johnson, far side Tompkins, and Hamilton, wing right Gesicki. Barkley to the left. Gives it to Barkley, straight up the middle. Barkley into the pile. Touchdown, Penn State, and now Lydell Mitchell has company. 38 career rushing touchdowns for Saquon Barkley, and he's not done yet. Barkley moves to the right of McSorley. Takes the snap. It's going to be Barkley. Shoots to the 20, 30, to the 40. Barkley to the 45, and with style, Saquon Barkley goes over 1,000 yards of the season for the third consecutive year. Stevens is in the game to the right of McSorley. Barkley to the left. Takes the snap. It's Barkley. Oh, it's McSorley to the 5. McSorley to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. Trace McSorley knocks it home for the 10th time this season on the ground. And now Penn State with back-to-back scoring drive. Barkley's in the pistol. Far side Hamilton. Near side it's Tompkins, Polk, and Gesicki. Barkley shifts to the right. McSorley waits. Back. A lot of time. Deals near corner. Fighting Gesicki. He's got it. Touchdown. Penn State. Mike Gesicki. Blacknall on the far side. Near side it's Johnson and Gesicki. Barkley is to the right of McSorley. Third and a half yard. McSorley will give it to Barkley. To the 5. Breaks a tackle. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Penn State. A 3. Touchdown day for Saquon Barkley. Barkley now to the left of the tight formation. 2 left, 2 right. 15-yard line, far hash. McSorley back, looks in the end zone, throws there. Tompkins, touchdown, Penn State. They are slicing and dicing today. Back goes McSorley. Sads, waits, looks in the end zone, fires. Touchdown, Penn State, Mike Gesicki. He'll throw down the middle. He's got Bowers, touchdown, Penn State. Nick Bowers, first career catch is a touchdown from 15 yards out.
Undefeated at home for back-to-back seasons. First time I think that's happened in 31 years. And it starts there. You got to win at home. You got to protect your house. No different than everything else. So I'm really proud of that. Obviously, the offense did some nice things. I thought we matched up well up front, and I thought we were more physical. Got the running game going right from the beginning. And I thought we protected well, on top of that. So, starts up front, and we got to continue developing those guys. But whenever you're able to put up those type of yards and points, it's going to help. I think that's probably one of the areas we've improved the most on offense is our perimeter blocking with our wide receivers. It helps that a lot of the guys that we have playing wide out for us are big physical guys. And they're able to, win those matchups and cover guys up. And obviously with a guy like Saquon Barkley and Miles and the other backs that we got, you get them in the open field with a hat on a hat, good things are going to happen. We didn't play as clean as we wanted to play in the second half. The punt early in the game, they muff a punt and they get rewarded for it with it going off one of our guys on a really short punt. And then in the second half, we just didn't play as clean as we wanted to play. The hard part is, I don't know really what the answer is. You leave your ones in and people get upset with you because they say you're running up to score. You take your ones out and then they score 21 points in the second half and now the score looks different than really the way the game was. But I think our guys, our coaches and the players didn't feel like we played up to our standard in the second half with the twos and the guys that went in there.
And that's James Franklin from the postgame show on Saturday. Sean, welcome. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Absolute pleasure, sir. Short work week for quite a few, but not for us. We got a lot happening as we wrap up football and basketball heating up, too.
Joe Susan on the show today. Matt Leon on the Eagles today. Tomorrow will be a fun show, I think. I mean, the way it's going to work out. If Penn State wins tonight and plays in the championship game, then I believe we're going to have Lee Stout and Dr. Harry West on the show on their book, Lair of the Lion. And that's if Penn State wins tonight. Now, if Penn State loses tonight, then that's going to replace the show. It's an afternoon game. So we'll wait on that. And then Joe Susan today. And Neil Kulong tomorrow if Penn State wins tonight. All right. I think you talked about Nathan Davis at 4:35 tomorrow, but that's not going to happen. So
okay.
The reason it's not going to happen is because of me. That's the reason it's not going to happen. That's why I lined up Harry West and Lee Stout. So, and put that together. And that's not because I don't want to talk, because I love talking to Nathan Davis. It's just I physically can't.
It's going to give him more time to prep for Wednesday night, because he'll be taking on David Letterman's alma mater Wednesday night, Ball State. But, of course, tonight, first things first, tonight, finally they get to enjoy some home cooking at Soika. Gets Sienna tonight at 7, and you'll be able to hear that on Eagle 107 beginning at 6:30. And Rob Center actually is going to be doing a live broadcast leading up to Doug's broadcast. Yes.
Good. Oh, that's great. I like that. That is great. So that's coming up tonight. Rob does a great job always. Now is the suit for a period of time?
Oh, can you ask that again? We had a little bit of a scramble there about the suit. What was that?
Is the suit in dry dock for a little bit of period of time here before Shikellamy basketball?
A little bit. Yep.
Did you tell him the party was December 14th?
I thought he got that. Yeah.
Good.
At first, I thought we were talking about the 16th. So I think I originally told him the 16th.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Anything but the 13th. It's all good.
He's all happy just because of the fact that 100.9 The Valley is the Christmas music station. Flipped the switch to the Christmas music this morning. His office, he's got Christmas decorations all lit up in his office, and he's decked out ready to go.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. No. Now I know this is off. You know, we're going to talk about the Eagles. We're going to talk about the Steelers. We're going to talk about Penn State football. Okay, we're going to do all that. In my house, I am the one that does that. I know everyone's shocked when they hear that. What you do? I said, I'm actually the one that does that. Where I'm the one that puts up the decorations and things like that. Now, it's a little delayed this year because we're getting a wood stove, which means the mantle has to be replaced. And because the mantle has to be replaced, I can't put up like a Christmas village like you usually do, whatever. I got to wait till that's there. But it's pretty good because my daughter Megan and I are usually the ones that do that together. It's always been our little project. Well, of course, she's in Guam. She's coming home the 14th.
Love it.
Of
love
December.
It. Love
yes.
It, love it.
Yes. Loving it. All right. Steelers didn't play yesterday, so there should be no griping there. The Eagles were great last night. I want to get to Penn State football here out of the gate and talk about that. And we're going to come back and talk about a dominating performance that isn't perceived as being one in a moment. As we continue, brought to you by Purdy Insurance from Brooklyn on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Welcome back to Have It Back. I actually saw one headline that said Penn State holds on against Nebraska. Holds on against what? They scored in the last play of the game to lose by 12. Who's holding on? It does go back to the comment he made about in the postgame about I don't know how to handle, I'm not quite sure how to handle that fine line between when do you take them out and when do you put the other guys in. I mean, do you take them out and then suddenly you have to put them back in the game because the team has rallied, or you leave the starters in too long and get accused of running it up? And that's an issue. But this game was a dominating performance by Penn State because let's just examine the reality of the game. Nebraska had six consecutive three and outs offensively, coinciding with Penn State getting five consecutive touchdown drives. Nebraska actually had better field position in this game. So these were not, Penn State did not start one drive on the Nebraska side of the field. They put together, Penn State scored eight touchdowns in the game. I think five of the eight drives were 70 yards or better. So, I mean, it was dominating. Saquon Barkley ran for 158 yards in the game. Right? And he literally ran for 158 yards in the game because he was not thrown for a single loss in the game. Zero. McSorley threw for 325. I don't think a lot of people realized he threw for 325. But he was on point all day. Offense never turned it over. Juwan Johnson had a career-high 105 yards receiving. Tompkins had a touchdown catch. Blacknall had a big catch over the middle. Gesicki caught two. He looked good. Deshaun Hamilton making some really good plays along the way. Bowers, it was good to see Nick get in the act, and his first career catch was a touchdown. Bowers is going to be a good player here. He is going to be a good player here. He's going to be a good blocker, and I think he's going to be a decent enough receiver for them moving forward now that Mike Gesicki will be moving on. So that's where they are. You can look to the future somewhat and say, well, why they didn't do this and do that against Nebraska's first team, and Nebraska did the onside kick thing. I'm fine with Nebraska doing the onside kick thing because now Penn State has footage on an onside kick with the hands team out there. And now they're going to make corrections out of that. But that part's fine because, I mean, it happened at a point where it's not going to hurt you. But they have to make corrections out of that because the guys on that side were not aggressive enough in going to get the football. They sort of let it wait and come to them. No. And that's going to be just a teaching moment. It's a teaching moment where it doesn't hurt you. You weren't going to be hurt by them kicking an onside kick, getting in, and scoring a touchdown. Like I said, it made the final 12 points. And the experience part of it is interesting because they already play a lot of people on defense. On defense, they already play a lot of people. I mean, think about all the linemen that already play. Shaka Tony, Shane Simmons, Robert Windsor, Tyrell Chavis, Yetur Matos, to go with the starters, Parker, Curtis Cothran, Kevin Givens, Sharif Miller. And then, of course, we'll see about Ryan Buchholz. Right? They already play a lot of secondary people. Tariq Castro-Fields has a regular spot in the rotation. Lamont Wade has a regular spot in the rotation as a nickel.
You have Amani Oruwariye, who's always, it seems like he's always out there, but is not starting. And now Aaron Monroe and Nick Scott are getting a lot of playing time. By the way, keep in mind, Troy Apke has to sit out the first half of this week's game with Maryland because of the targeting call. I just want to make sure you're aware of that, or at least have it reiterated to you, because it occurred in the second half of the game. But they dominated the thing. And they look great doing it. Now, is the opinion of what happened jaded by the fact Nebraska ended up scoring 44 points and so forth? I mean, that's all. I mean, Nebraska needed to do something confidence-wise for them, so they kept their starters out there. Now you've got Stanley Morgan matched up on Zach McPherson, for example. Well, that's in the end, that's going to be good for Zach McPherson to get that kind of tape and so forth. And you know, you're up 42-10 at halftime. Hey, the game is over. You've ended it. Now, do you want to finish in a way that is befitting about how the game is played? Yes. Because you do have a coach in James Franklin that coaches right to the end. He has proven that over and over and over again. He's the guy that will call, you know, down in the game, 2 seconds left, he'll call a timeout to get one more play in there because he coaches right to the end. He says, if I want my players to play to the end, I want to coach right to the end as well. Well, that's what I think bothered him after the game. He felt, as he said, they did not live up to, quote, our standards. And he said the same thing after the Northwestern game when Northwestern got a late touchdown to make the final 31-7. He said they didn't meet our standards. And that's where you get an opportunity to pull them aside and start understanding what it takes to meet that standard. But that's all that was at the end of the game. Anybody who thinks it's more than that, really? Really? Then you're just complaining to complain. Because Penn State, when they had their group out there, and it wasn't all seniors playing out there. I mean, the offensive line had 4 out of 5 guys that are underclassmen. Miles Sanders played a lot in the rotation. McSorley's coming back. You look at the wideouts. I mean, Juwan Johnson's coming back. Tompkins is coming back. They got Bowers mixed in there. He's coming back. Brandon Polk's coming back. You know, they all made plays in the game. Same thing with the defensive guys, except for Parker Cothran and Curtis Cothran. All the defensive linemen are coming back. I already mentioned the young secondary guys. Remember, John Reed's coming back. So they've got a lot coming back. And when the starters were out there, they dominated this team. I mean, I'm talking total and complete domination. Now it's Maryland coming up on Saturday. That'll be a 3:30 kick, by the way. Ron beginning at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Tonight's 9:30 with a 9 o'clock airtime here at the Barclays Center. Iowa lost today to Louisiana Monroe in basketball. And yesterday, Texas Tech blew out Northwestern. That was one of those wow moments because that was a 40-point game. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford knows it's the holiday season, and you need a dependable vehicle, but also need as much money left in your pocket as possible. Let's be honest. If somebody gives you way too much for your piece of junk trade or cash just for buying a car, who do you think is paying for it?
You are!
Come see why SMC has been selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Pick from over 100 2017 Ford F-Series trucks. Priced as low as $24,997. Choose from 42 2017 four-wheel drive Escapes slashed as low as $19,975. At SMC, take $3,500 off all remaining 2017 Ford Explorers and get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Don't believe everyone else's hype. Sunbury Motors always gives you huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing options. And with over 4 city blocks of new Fords, they have what you're looking for. Sunbury Motors Ford in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades because they've been able to find the right insurance, whether it's auto, home, life, or business, whatever it may be. They've been able to get it for the best price that fits your wallet. You're covered. And on top of that, it's done in such a way where it fits a budget. It's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today in Brooklyn, New York. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Joined now by the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It is always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Steve. You're in New York?
In New York, basketball tonight, Penn State Pitt at the Barclays Center, and then either Oklahoma State or Texas A&M tomorrow.
So you do hoops too, huh?
Yeah, I've done, 1,040 of those in my career.
And you're still undefeated?
You're darn right. I sit there, no record. I haven't won any. Haven't lost any.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing with a note attached to a record. Your defense played really well again. Moving forward now, because you have to start moving forward with this, do you see building blocks with which you can build around next year?
I do. I think that from a defensive standpoint, we will return really all of our safeties. We're going to miss Colin Jonov, who wound up being our boundary corner in the last couple of games. It was primarily our field corner, but Brian Marine returns. Obviously, we're going to miss Abdullah Anderson, and then the two linebackers. But Simeon Page had 4 sacks and a total of 6 TFLs. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops and what he develops into. Right now we're using him as a linebacker on the line of scrimmage, and he creates issues for defenses. Strong, explosive, and really getting comfortable with what he's doing. One of the things that when you have a guy like Abdullah Anderson in there and he's next to Simeon, there's 2 pools of sweat that come up. But I think that the younger guys on our team and the development of the younger guys in the weight room in the offseason is going to be critical to really bringing along a defensive line. Now, the linebacker level, we feel Matt Robinson will be a very good linebacker. And then it's going to be competitive for that other position. We have Sam Chitty and then a pretty talented freshman in Rick Mottram, who has never gotten a B ever in his life, which I gave him a B once that he missed a meeting, and it wound up that it wasn't him that missed a meeting. The professor missed a meeting, so he wound up getting an A again. Offensively, it's going to be – I think we'll be a different offensive line. We returned Pat Finn, who wound up really coming along as our center. Noah Stevenson, our right tackle, developed as the year went on. P.J. Barr, starter as a freshman at the left guard. And then we have a young man named Simon Krizak, who is from Stuttgart, Germany. He actually sat out this year because of the fact that by the NCAA, he had to sit a year in residence because after high school, he took a gap year and then went to prep school in the States. But Simon is a 6'4", 310-pounder that has really shown that he's going to be. He was a really good scout team player this year. And we have a young man named Justice Peppers, who's a 6'4", 330-pounder. I think our offensive line will take a step. One of the key positions for us is going to be the development quarterback position, and it is going to be competitive from now through the spring and into preseason between John Schlanzio and the freshman that we had this year, Logan Bitticoffer. Evolution of Marcus Ademiola as a hybrid tight end, slot receiver at times, really came along and wound up being, as the season went on, the guy we targeted the most. That I think his development physically, right now he's about 230 pounds. We can get him up to 235 to 240. He can be a force on the line of scrimmage as well as in space. And then we return Chad Freshnock, who was our leading rusher this year, and a freshman, Marquise Carter, who shows signs of being a very good football player. We return our punter, one of the better punters in the country. He punted for an average of 50 this past Saturday. And, you know, it's going to be how our team handles from this day through finals in the weight room. Got to get it going again, but their mentality is such that they're going to come in and work, and then how we do in recruiting, because at this level in this league, freshmen play, and our recruiting's gone well. You'd like to have won that last one, being 6-5 instead of 5-6, and you know, punt return really impacted us, and unfortunately, it should have never been able to be returned, but that's a story for a different time.
Is there a player or two that you talked about in there that in the preseason you thought, okay, but then as time went, they forced you to play them because you developed trust in them?
Well, the Marcus Adamiola is one of them that really we were uncertain, because he had injured his foot in the spring, how he would come back in the fall. And Marcus really came along, and we used him a lot when Podbielski had a lower body injury, a lower leg injury. We used him a lot more then, and then when Podbielski came back, he kind of went back to being a second, but we started putting Marcus in space in games, and he really functioned well in space. Simeon Page, the other guy, you know, we weren't certain that he was going to be athletic enough to be a linebacker in space for what we asked the linebackers to do. And we closed the space for Simeon. We put him on the line of scrimmage, and it really, really played to his skill set. And I think it was a tribute to our defensive coaches in terms of how to use him the best way. Those two guys, and one guy I didn't mention, freshman who wound up playing quite a bit for us, Alex Twyford, line of scrimmage tight end, a 240-pounder that when you're going up against senior defensive ends, you got your hands full. I think Alex really did a good job, and he wound up playing a lot more as the season went on. Those three guys and their development, and it's going to be development in our weight room in terms of power, strength, and mass. Those will be key factors as we move forward. And you got to move forward. You can't look back. You got to learn from what you did. But the approach to these guys, I think a lot of it is a credit to the leaders that we had who were seniors, the Mark Piles, the Abdul Andersons, the Ben Richards. Those guys have left an imprint, and would have liked to have sent them out with a championship. That didn't happen. Would have liked to have sent them out with a winning season. That didn't happen. But the impact they've had on our program will last way beyond their years here. And you know, those are the things you feel emotional about when you have to let these seniors go.
Your defense will, and your punter will keep you in every single game. So now it's a question, obviously, of generating an offense that swings games for you. Will that offseason and just the mere experience factor change you up front next season, in your opinion?
Oh, no question. No question. And we're going to do some things. We're going to spread it out a little bit more. I didn't think we were, because we hired our offensive coordinator a little bit late in the process, we're going to be able to open the doors a little bit more and spreading it out. And with the personnel that we have and the offensive line we have, I think we'll be able to do that. And those things start in January. Last year, we didn't hire an offensive coordinator till early March, and it became hard for him to make the transition, and we had really put in the basis of what we were doing offensively. I think being a little bit more open-minded to being a little bit more spread conscious, not necessarily, you know, when people talk about spread, it's the read option stuff, not necessarily that, but forcing people to defend the width of the field and not really giving people a chance to play a nine-man box or a ten-man box, I think that'll help us. But the evolution of our offensive line, and Eric Luebner, who started early in the season, had an ankle injury that persisted. Having him back healthy will help, because he is one very strong and powerful guy as a guard. So it'll give us some flexibility and some depth.
This game, of course, deals with a lot of trends. Is there a trend or two today that begs your interest to a point where you'd like to look into it closer to see how it fits with what you do?
We do limited run-pass option things, and I think that gives your quarterback a chance to – we're gonna open our eyes to that. It gives your quarterback a chance to be right at the line of scrimmage post-snap, which I think, you know, the play you call might not be the play you run based on what a defense does to you post-snap. And I think that given our quarterbacks the experience in functioning in that system from February through spring, through preseason, that'll be something, and that is something I'm very interested in, because my mindset, and I'd love to line up toe-to-toe and knock them off the ball, but the way defenses can outnumber you nowadays, that you want to be in situations where if you have it, you can use it, but from a matchup standpoint, and we want to be able to use the skill that we have to, and I'm not excluding the offensive line, because they are by far the most skilled players. I haven't been one. We want to be able to use the skill we have to our biggest advantage, and we've got to, and I know this, we've got to score points. You can't count by threes, and that's what happened to us. We started out with the ball on a 6-yard line against Fordham on a turnover that we received, and we're going in, and we wind up kicking a field goal, and we've got to be able to score by seven. You got to be able to count by sevens in this game, because rarely do you win a pitcher's duel over and over again. You know, you might win some, but we were in way too many of those, and our offense really has to improve in terms of explosiveness and ultimately in terms of points.
Joe Paterno said to me once, he must have said it to me 100 times, remember, it takes 3 field goals to beat a touchdown.
Correct. So,
that's spot on.
Right,
Joe,
our kicker,
to
our
you.
Kicker, John Burdick, did a great job.
Yeah. Now, that was a big improvement. Your kicking game really improved a lot this year in a lot of ways, and it allowed you to play a different kind of chess game because of it.
Yeah. I just I want the checkers to move a little bit faster, the chess to move a little bit faster. Yeah. My son used to play me in chess. I have not beaten him yet. But he's a hell of a lot smarter than me.
That means I have no shot. There was an old thing about John Urshaw. He mentioned about one of your players never getting a B, and I said that John Urshaw never had a B. Or Jack Ham said, you know, John Urshaw's never had a B. I said, what a coincidence, neither do we. So, Joe, to you, Cindy, and your family, and the Bucknell football family, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for
thank
all
you.
The time you continue to give us on the show. You know how much I enjoy these conversations very, very much.
I truly appreciate that, Steve. My thoughts to you and your family, and to the families of the people that are listening to us today. A great Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. And we can't
yes.
forget that what we're most thankful for are the people in our lives. And I appreciate you being in my life. I appreciate Sean being in my life. And I wish you the best.
Well, we say the same about you all the time.
Got
with great sincerity. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Next hour, Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia, on the Eagles' big win last night. What a tough one for the Redskins yesterday. Wow. That'll be part of our play-by-play call of the day. Final half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, on Penn State football. So that's all coming up in the next hour. Coming up on tomorrow's show, if Penn State wins tonight, Dr. Harry West and Lee Stout co-authors of the book Lair of the Lion, the story of Penn State football and Beaver Stadium. Now, you want to talk about a great holiday gift for the Penn Stater and your family? This is actually a pretty cool book. They're going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow if there is no basketball. If Penn State wins tonight, we'll have the show. We'll do that. Neil Coulong tomorrow. Coming up on Wednesday's show, we're trying to get Johnny Holiday on the show, who Sean's all happy because Johnny sent me a message on Facebook, I guess, right? I tell you right now, that's the best thing, them coming into the league, the best thing about them coming into the league, I remember the first thing I thought of, I got a hold of them right away. I said, the best thing is, I said, you may be upset about leaving the ACC, but I'm happy you're in the league now. I said, I don't mean Maryland, I mean you. I think the world of Johnny. I really do. And you got a kick out of that, didn't you?
Got a major kick out of that. I was checking my phone last night. I'll check our Facebook page a few times, you know, throughout the day. And I doubled it. It's like, Johnny Holiday left you a message. The fan gene flared up.
Well, how many times, like, when I've had Johnny on the show where at some point we get around to talking about the game because we're getting around about so many other things. I think the world of Johnny. I think the world of him. He and Strack do a great job on the Maryland network. They're really good. So we'll work on getting him on Wednesday. And Zach Showers on Wednesday to preview Selinsgrove Grove in the next step. They're in the state quarterfinals now. They took apart Belfond with relative ease on Saturday. And we'll get Zach on one more time to talk about it on Wednesday. And then now Wednesday's Pick'em Wednesday. And we're not going to have a show on Thanksgiving, despite the fact that the suit was pushing for it. And we're not going to have a show on Thanksgiving. And Friday, there's Penn State basketball with Oral Roberts at 3 o'clock. So we're going to do picks on Wednesday. Nice four-day weekend for you, Sean. How about the suit pushing to do shows on Thanksgiving? Did you hear that?
Oh, really?
What's going on in those PD meetings? You know, now that he's out of it, and you know, he just wants to, you know.
Oh, we just started without him today. He actually was a little late coming into the room. We were, interrupting his schedule, his routine. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens on the golf course. If we go to this section, we feel like he's interrupting our schedules just by hitting. I mean, come on. What are you doing? Oh, goodness gracious. So no show Thanksgiving. And I thought Joe Susan said it right. We'll talk more about this as the week goes. But Thanksgiving's coming up. And it does, again, bring you to that point where you want to reflect. And last night, I went to the World Trade Center last night, Sean, with the Penn State basketball team. And we did go up to World Trade 1, and we went right to the top to floor 102. And your ears do pop as you go up through the elevator, and the player's like, whoa, how fast that thing goes. But before we went there, we went to the reflecting pools, starting with the North Tower, then going to the South Tower. And then I didn't go into the museum, but I just looked into the museum in between the two towers. And, of course, yeah, part of the structure that was still standing at the end, standing there. You know, and it just made you reflect on how sorry you are for them, how sorry you are for their friends and their families. Now this is completely off base, but I'm going to take a quote from the mother of Sharon Tate. And of course, Charles Manson died today. At one of Manson's parole hearings, they asked her about him deserving parole. And she looked at the guy on the parole board and said, when's my parole? Well, for all those people who lost their lives that day just across the river, and we were there at the site yesterday, they're never going to get parole, ever. They've lost them forever. So we should be thankful every day for what we have and the people we have.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.